We are doing the Chazon Ish Emunah u'Bitachon. We're up to the fourth chapter, the fifth paragraph. The Chazon Ish had begun this chapter discussing how our traits can really be boiled down to one question: do I decide with my mind and my mind controls what I do? Or do my desires control what I do? Who's on top? Who's the boss? My desires or my values? If my values are in control, then I overtake my desire and I do what's right. And he said all traits can really boil down to that. There's no logical reason why a person gets angry or is arrogant or is stingy, etc. These all stem from my desires, okay, but who controls my behavior? Is it my values, my mind, or is it my desires, my inclinations? Now the Chazon Ish is going to tackle a second question. That all seems to be true with regards to our traits between man and his fellow man. What about between man and his creator? How does that play out? Min ha-munachim ha-kayamim, one of the given concepts is ki tikkun ha-midot mityaches le'ele ha-mitzvot shehen ben adam la-chavero. People ordinarily assume that perfecting your traits is relevant to how you will behave to your fellow man. Perfecting your traits relates to the question of how I treat someone else. V'chovat ha-yir'ah, but if I want to know about bettering my relationship with my Creator, so there it's a question of how much I have awe of heaven. V'chovat ha-yir'ah bishvil mitzvot sheben adam lamakom yitbarach. For the mitzvos between man and his Creator, that's where people say, if you want to strengthen yourself there, so then you have to have more fear of heaven. Yir'at shamayim. So people like to say, Well, all the mitzvos that relate to their bon shalom, to the master of the world, it's a question of how much you fear him. That will define, do you pray? Do you put on tefillin? Do you put on tzitzis? Do you eat kosher? All the mitzvos that are between you and him, it's a question of how much fear you have. The mitzvot that are between you and your fellow man, that's a question of how you develop your traits. That's what people like to say. Umin ha-munach hazeh, and stemming from this given that people assume, kayemet ha-de'a, so from there stems the opinion, ki yesh bnei adam, that people think that there exist people who are shilemim b'mitzvot sheben adam la-makom yitbarach, in their mitzvos between him and his Creator, he's perfect, he's such a tzaddik, look at how he davens, look at how he puts on his tefillin, look at how he says his Kriyat Shema. People say he's such a God-fearing person. Look at him. Wow. But v'chaserin b'tikun amidot. They say these people are amazing. They're tzaddikim. They're just not so good with their fellow man. And people say, v'en rein ben adam l'chaveroi. You know, every person has their strong points and their weak points. His strong point is his relationship with his Creator. His weak point is between man and his fellow man. People say that. They say, you know, there's a tzaddik, but he's not such a nice guy. You know, he's short-tempered. But what can you do? He's a big tzaddik. Says the Chazon Ish, Omnam, en de'a zo kayemet be'emet. In truth, says the Chazon Ish, such a thing does not exist. That's not true. Lachoder el pnimiyut chezion hazeh, anyone who analyzes the inner workings of this approach can understand that it doesn't really work. Ki be'emet, because in truth, ze shemidotav kibriyatan. When you look at someone who hasn't changed his traits, he's behaving the way he was when he was born, the way he was as a child, he's the same self-centered, angry, arrogant, miserly, whatever bad trait he has, that's the way he's always been. Velo utkinu al pi hamusar v'adea, if he doesn't fix his traits using values, using ethics, morals, knowledge, intellect, if he doesn't apply that, all that, he says, I'm a God-fearing person. I am holy. That's beautiful. So I'm not so nice to the guy sitting next to me in shul, but I'm very holy. Well, wait a second. If you haven't worked on changing your traits from the way you were when you were created, vehu masu biyad yitzro, so then who's in control of your behavior, your desires? The en yitzro masu biyado, and a person is not really in control of his desires. Who's the boss? There's a famous joke about a guy who comes home. He meets his friend, and his friend tells him, in my house, whatever I say goes. He says, how did that happen? He says, I walked into the house the first day after we were married, and I said, who's the boss? I said, huh? I said, who's the boss in this house? I started pounding on the table. My wife said, what do you mean? I said, who's the boss? Of course you're the boss. I did this for the first 10 days of marriage, and ever since then, I'm the boss in the house. So try it. So he comes home, and he yells, who's the boss? His wife comes out, huh? He says, who's the boss in this house? So his wife walks up to him and starts pounding on the table and says, huh? So he says, I was just asking. So I always think of that when I ask myself, who's the boss? We have to ask that about ourselves. Who's the boss in this house and myself? Is it my desires? Is it that my Yetzer's in control of me? Or am I the boss? Am I the one who's going to control my desires? Says the Chazon Ish, when a person says, I'm a God-fearing person, I do whatever God wants, I'm not such a great guy with my friends, well then that means he hasn't taken control of his desires. Then his Yetzer's in control of him. Who's the boss? Lo yitachen sheyehe shalem b'mitzvot sheben adam lamakom. The Chazon Ish says it's impossible that he has attained a wholeness in his relationship with his Creator, because he doesn't have control of himself. Ve'im mekayman b'mida yedua, and if you see that he's fulfilling the mitzvot with a certain amount that everyone knows, hurak, the only reason he succeeds in accomplishing that much is because in the performance of that much mitzvot, he doesn't encounter hitnagdut mita'am achat hamidot gunot. He doesn't find himself running into one of his megune, means shameful. He doesn't find himself running into one of his shameful characteristics. If his service of Hashem would suddenly contradict one of his shameful characteristics, he'd have a problem. Aval behipagsho behitnagdut shelahin, but when he will encounter a conflict with one of his shameful characteristics, lo ta'amod yirato bifnehin, then all that awesome God-fearing person suddenly will crumble. He won't stand before them. If he doesn't take the time to work on himself, then you don't say, between him and God, his relationship is great. It's only with his fellow man that he's got an issue. No. His issue is that he hasn't taken control of himself. And the only reason that he finds success in praying fervently and doing all the mitzvot between man and his Creator so beautifully is because they haven't yet come into conflict with those characteristics that he's let go wild. When they'll suddenly have a conflict, his characteristics will win because he doesn't take control over them. Oh, he's giving a story, but unfortunately it's a true story. He says, "Umasim bechol yom." We see things like this every day. Shehachared hazeh, that this person who has a reputation for being such a God-fearing person, everyone looks at his long white beard and the way he prays longer than everyone else. I davened mincha next to a friend of mine today. Myrif, next to a friend of mine. And I finished Myrif before him and I sat down. So he stood up for Myrif, I was sitting. And he finished Myrif, I was still sitting. So he comes over to me and says, "Rabbi, did you pray?" Now this man is old enough to be my father. So I said, "Yeah, I did." He says, you know, I started praying, you were sitting. I finished praying, you're still sitting. Don't you think a rabbi should daven a longer Shmona Esrei? So I didn't want to answer him because they started Kaddish afterwards. But I the true answer is, if my concern is with what everyone else is thinking, then you're right. But if I have to talk to my Creator, so some days I talk quicker, and some days I talk slower, and some days my Shmona Esrei takes longer, some days it takes shorter, and some days it should take longer, but it doesn't. It's not always because I had less to say, it's sometimes because I had less focus. And I believe that if we're going to be honest, then people will see that Avodas Hashem is about being honest. It's about it's not about a game. It's about what's really going on there. Who am I for real? I knew I ended before him. I knew I ended before most people in shul, but I knew that's where I ended. So now I'm going to play a game. Chazanish says we see. I hope so. The Chazanish says we see the following sad story happen often. That this person that everyone views as such a God-fearing person, lo ala la Torah, they call him up to read in the Torah. He gets an aliyah, and he doesn't go up. Why? Kasher karu la'alot, they call him up to an aliyah, but he doesn't go up. Ba'asher chashav ki lo lefi kvodo, he feels like they didn't honor him enough when calling him up. He feels like the gabbai didn't give him enough honor. In this congregation, it's considered having an honor to get shlishi, to get shishi, to get maftir. No. You know, ucherega lochat nimashamru vozve Hashem yichlu. And you don't see him scared of what our sages say, that those who walk away from the opportunity to get an aliyah to the Torah, they have a curse from the verse that they're going to drop dead. So that's a pretty scary line, our sages say. They call you up to the Torah, and you say, nah, never mind. Give it to someone else. So our sages say about that, it says, Vozvei Hashem Yichlu. Those who walk away from Hashem are going to pass away from the world. So that's a scary line. By the way, it says that also if they try to honor you to lead Benji. So you shouldn't turn them down. If you're going to turn them down, tell them that before they offer it to you. If you're going to be uncomfortable leading benching, that's why sometimes I'm at events and they say, Rabbi, you lead benching. I always say, once you offer it, I'm not going to turn you down. Because our sages say you're not supposed to turn it down. Next time, don't offer me. Give it to someone else. I don't need the honor. But if you offer it, I'm not turning you down. If you want to take it away from me, I'm not going to protest. But I'm not going to turn you down. I tell the guys before they get married, give the honors to other people. I'm okay. Give to Rabbi Lisman, give to other people. But once a person's invited to bless, and then he says, no, it doesn't look nice. It looks like I'm not interested in blessing God. So our sages say you shouldn't turn it down once they told you you lead the blessing, so then you shouldn't turn it down. Beforehand, you could say, give it to someone else. So he says, if our sages warn that, you'd certainly think that a person would take it seriously, and when they call him up to an aliyah, he wouldn't say, that's not such an honorable aliyah, I'm not going up there. I was once in shul, a newcomer came to shul with a long white beard, and the gabbai, well, this gabbai was a character. So the gabbai purposely gave him glila, right? So the guy walked out of shul. He walked out. It was like mind-boggling. This same gabbai, a person came to shul and he gave him a certain aliyah, and the guy comes to him after shul and he says to him, you know, I went up to the aliyah because I assumed you don't know this, but the town where I come from, that's the aliyah they always give to the Amoritz, to the guy who doesn't know how to learn a word. So the gabbai looks at him and says, no, that's what we do here too. Chazanish says, you're not supposed to look at it that way. If you're really a God-fearing person, they called you up to the Torah. That's an honor. You say thank you and you run up. Zot omeret, says the Chazanish, when you see such behavior, what you're seeing is, that means She'adam zeh, that this person, mekulkal b'shorsho, he is decrepit at the root. She'yetzer hara shofeto. The one who's really deciding how he behaves is his yetzer hara. Ve'chol asiyat mitzvotav. And when you see him performing mitzvos, everything you see that's so impressive, hen pri ha'hergel, hamatimot lechvodo, ve'leta'avato, ulemahalach chayav, v'shitfo ha'tivi. Well, that's the fruit of habit and honor. A person of your honor, Rabbi, you end Shmona Esrei so fast. Well, of course I have to daven slowly, shuckle a lot, have a long flaming beard. His desire, his course of life. So it's natural for him to behave a certain way. That's not called being a God-fearing person, says the Chazon Ish. If when you're called up, you say, that's not honorable enough for me, and you run away, so you don't really care what our sages said. So then all the other stuff you're doing is a question of habit, it's a question of honor, it's a question of other things. Aval nas na lifgoa bo. But why don't you try to hurt his honor? Ki az yafocha kara al piya. Suddenly you'll see him turning everything upside down. So the Chazon Ish says, I don't agree. It doesn't work. If a person is really a God-fearing person, then that should be reflected in his traits. Don't tell me what the Chazon Ish quoted in the opening, that your traits, well, that's how you behave to your fellow man. And your fear of heaven, well, that's how you do mitzvot between you and God. They go hand in hand. It's one system. Ve'omnam, but liyot ipagsho b'milchemet amidot b'dvorim sh'menam l'chavero mitzuya. The only reason you see it played out this way is because a certain characteristic doesn't come to play too often with the mitzvot of Shema and prayer. Your honor isn't at play with regards to Shema. Maybe you should say a longer Shema, you get more honor. So it doesn't conflict the performance of the mitzvah. That's why to his fellow man, you'll find the guy behaving nastily. Well, that's because there's a conflict with his honor. So then his honor overrides. And in Kriyat Shema, he could seem so pious. In prayer, he could seem so pious because there's no conflict. Nidme livnei adam, and that's why it seems to people, ki hu chared lechatzain. They think he's halfway. He's half perfect. He's perfect in his relationship to God, says Chazon Ish. No, he isn't. People think you just have to divide. He's God-fearing, but his fellow man, so he's a bit of a dog. No. The truth is, he's neither. If he's not a mensch, if he doesn't behave nicely to his fellow man, so then you could be sure that his Torah is not real. His learning, his mitzvos between man and his creator are not real. Chazon Ish says he might have learned a lot. It could be he could do a lot of mitzvot to perfection. Yeah, that's all habit. That's because he's not running into conflict. I want to share with you a bunch of stories because this is how I grew up. My teachers were big on this point. Rav Moshe Feinstein was a short man, you know, this tall. And a man once came to the yeshiva. He wanted to see who Rabbi Feinstein was. So he comes before davening, and he sees a bunch of people with white beards standing in the front of the shul, and he's waiting there for a half hour before davening, trying to figure out which one is the rabbi. So davening starts, and he still can't figure it out. Davening ends, and he can't figure it out. So after davening, he goes over to someone, and he says, could you show me which of the rabbis is Rabbi Feinstein? So he points to Rabbi Feinstein, and the guy turns white. He's like, he's almost about to faint. He asks him, what happened? What's wrong? He says, well, I came here long before prayer started, and I sat down to wait and see Rabbi Feinstein come. He was there in the front, and then he walked out, I guess, to use the restroom or something. As he walked by,
I thought he was collecting money. I thought he was collecting charity. So I took a dollar out of my pocket and I extended it to him. So the man asked him, well, what did Rabbi Feinstein do? He said, well, Rabbi Feinstein took it and said, thank you very much, and kept walking. He wouldn't embarrass him. The guy thought he was a beggar. So he said, thank you. I told you the story about the Chazon Ish a week or two ago. Chazon Ish came to the Beis Medrash. The Gabbai didn't know it was him. He took away his Gemara and said, you know, you're from the common folk. Go retell him. What are you reading a Gemara from? And the Chazon Ish just said, thank you very much, and took the Tehillim and read the Tehillim. And there are so many stories like that, where the rabbis did not fight for their honor. On the contrary, they shied away from their honor. And again, these are the stories I grew up with, the stories of the rabbis who were not interested in honor. And these stories go on again and again. I could tell you a personal story I had. I was in an apartment with a rabbi, a big Talmud Chacham, and we were both going to leave, and I noticed it got really cold outside. I said, Rabbi, you don't have a coat. So he said, you're right. It really got cold. When I left the house, it wasn't so cold. I said, fine, I take my coat. I had one of these big green army jackets. And I said, I'll wear my Shabbos coat. So I give him the green coat, and I take a coat I had for Shabbos, which was nicer. And then I said, wait a second, this isn't respectable. You take the nicer coat, I'll take the green coat. I'm just the yeshiva guy here. You're the rabbi, you take the nicer coat. So he said, no. And I said, yes. And he said, no. And I said, yes. So he said, no, I don't want it. I said, it's not respectable, you know. You're a rabbi, you're going to walk around with an army coat? He said, you're a rabbi too. I said, no, I'm not. He said, yeah, but when we walk in the street, no one knows the difference between me and you. We're both guys who learn in yeshiva. Who knows the difference? So I said, Rabbi, no, 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 no. And with that, he ran out the door. So I ran after him. He was going to wait for the elevator, but he saw me coming. Ran down all the flights of steps. And I'm running after him with the coat. And I said, Rabbi, you should wear this. And he's running. And I'm running after him. He reaches the bottom floor. And he said to me, now it's not nice. People are going to see me running away from you. What are people going to think? You want to honor Torah? Don't go running after me now. And with that, he walks out quickly. And that was it. He went to the yeshiva with the green coat. He said, on the street, there's no difference between me and you. I knew I was asking him all my questions. But that's, again, honor is not, and should not be, the interest. Sometimes a person has to. Sometimes a person represents Torah. If he's going to let himself be, people wipe the floor with him, then in a certain way, it could be a desecration of Torah. But I was there when they were preparing a shul for Rosh Hashanah. And the Gabbai told the rabbi, Rabbi, you shouldn't help with this. And the rabbi said, why shouldn't I help? We all have to prepare the shul for Rosh Hashanah. So the rabbi started moving a desk. So the Gabbai grabbed the table at the other end and he said, Rabbi, you shouldn't move the table. So the rabbi said to the Gabbai, what's that sefer over there? So the Gabbai let go and went over to the sefer. And then the rabbi kept moving the table. Because it's not a focus. It's not... Again, these are the stories I saw growing up. These are the stories you'll hear over and over again. The Chazon Ish says, if you don't have that, so then the Torah, the fear of heaven isn't real. The two are not disjointed. The two are connected. It's one system. And that's why the Chazon Ish says people want to discern. They say he's a really God-fearing person. He's just not nice to his fellow man. Doesn't work. You know, Rabbi Feinstein would get a phone call every Friday. There was a woman who would call him and ask him, Rabbi, what time is Shabbos? And he'd answer her. He never told her, lady, you know it's cheaper to buy a calendar. You don't have to call me every Friday. For years, the lady would call him. He had a neighbor across the hall, a widow. He would pick up the New York Times for her because it was important to her. And the stories, the more you guys will read biographies, you'll see these stories go on and on. And it's not... it's not beneath the person's dignity. When a person when a person tries to be a God-fearing person, then the two go hand in hand. Being a kind person, a gentle person, a caring person, and being a God-fearing person. The two have to go hand in hand.